So this morning, I want to share with you guys from Ezekiel chapter 37. And then we'll also look at Isaiah chapter 37. I'll probably just paraphrase it. But this is a word that the Lord spoke to me first back in 2021, I guess it was, around the time I was came to know the first time, actually. And this is a scripture that I'm sure you've heard before, but yeah, let's just invite God to come and speak to us fresh this morning. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. God, we don't want to just read these scriptures about you, about your story, but we want to read them with you, Jesus. Jesus, you be the one to show us what's going on here, to show us what was happening back when it happened, and to show us what it means for how we live our lives now. Come, Lord, come. Amen. So I'm going to read this, and it's a little lengthy, but you can follow along with me as it's on the screen. So this is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with them. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Joseph, that is to Ephraim, and all the Israelites associated with him. Join them together into one stick so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, 'Won't you tell us what you mean by this?' say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with idols or vile images or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. What a rich piece of scripture. What a meaty piece of scripture. How many of you know where there's some dry bones at this morning? What the Lord pointed out to me a couple of years ago and has convicted me of several times since then is that it's one thing to see the dry bones, because we can all think of somewhere where there's some dry bones, right? Can anyone not think of somewhere where there's some dry bones? Because if you can't, we'll tell you about some. But to see the dry bones, that's just the beginning. God said to Ezekiel, "Speak to these bones can live again." You know, when he asked him the first time, "Can these bones live again?" I feel like that's Ezekiel. What he kind of wanted to say was, "Come on, God, that's a trick question. If you want them to live, they'll live." But Ezekiel, he went along with it. And God said, "These bones will live again. The flesh will grow on them again, and they will breathe again." And God, he spoke all the things that were going to happen. And then what happened? If the story had stopped there, the bones would still be dry. The key here says in verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone." You see, it wasn't God had spoken. God said, "This is what I'm going to do." But until Ezekiel was obedient and did what God told him to do, the bones didn't come together. The bones didn't grow flesh. And so what God convicted me of and showed me was, so often we hear God's promises and we agree with them. We say, that sounds good. I want that to happen. But until we speak out in faith, often nothing will happen. God is all powerful. He's all sovereign. And he moves often, even when we aren't obedient. He finds someone else. But I think this scripture is evidence that he invites us into the process. He wanted Ezekiel to be part of the process. He invites us to be part of the process. He wants us to speak. You know, our words have power. God created the whole earth with his words. And he made us in his image. Our words have power. And so as we begin to speak to the dry bones in our life, in our church, in our family, in your workplace or your school, in our community, what does God want to do to the dry bones in those places? You know, fingerprints are all unique. I think we all know that. No one else has the same fingerprint as you do. What you might not know is that our voice print is also unique. No one else in the world has the exact same voice as you. And they have the science and the technology out there to identify people by their voice. That's why if you have an iPhone, I don't know if Android does this or not, but any one of you could in here say, "Hey Siri," and my phone would do nothing. But sure enough, when I said it, it pops up because it knows our voice, which is a little creepy with the technology. But it's because our voice print is unique. And so God wants to hear your voice. I imagine when we're worshiping, God being all powerful and omniscient and all of those things, He doesn't just hear one noise. I think he picks out each voice and he goes, "Oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. I'm so glad that they're worshiping. I'm so glad that they're here." And so we have been given an invitation to speak to the dry bones. Continuing with the story, there's the stick of wood. And I don't think we talk about the stick of wood quite as much. It says one half belonging to Judah and the Israelites. If you don't know, at this point in the story, in the narrative of the Bible, there were 12 tribes of Israel initially, and they had broken off. There were two tribes by themselves, and the rest of them were separate. And there had been a civil war. And here God is talking about bringing them back together. Who has some place that's been broken apart and separated that they want to see God bring back together? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. As I'm speaking this morning, if specific instances come to your mind, I want you to take note of them. Places where there's dry bones. This morning during Sunday school, we were taking prayer requests. And again, God convicted me of not praying for two young men that have caused so much hurt and pain to my family. Their names are John and Alex. And I won't air all the dirty laundry right now, but they're the fathers of some of my nieces and nephews. And both of them have caused tremendous hurt to my sisters. Both of my sisters chose to give everything they had to men before they were married. One of them did marry John was married to one of my sisters. But there's been abuse of every kind towards both of my sisters from these two guys. From emotional abuse and manipulation to verbal to physical. Literally, my one sister was choked out in the street, right up the street from the police station. And because she won't press charges, nothing was done about it. And you can only imagine what that does to me, what that does to my family. I learned that one of them was in jail while we were here. And my pride and my earthly sense of justice says, oh, yeah, it's about time. And his bail was set at $25,000. And my dad said, do any of you guys want to go bail him out? First off, I don't have $25,000. So that's, yeah. But I thought, there's no way I would do that. And I don't even know if he's still in jail, to be honest. But God said, those are dry bones. Those are dry bones that I can cry out for if I will choose to do it. It said at the beginning of this chapter that the bones weren't just dry, they were very dry. And I'm telling you, folks, I can't think of any drier bones than those two. I didn't want to say their names in Sunday school because often I don't want to pray for them because of the hurt that they have caused. But God said that He wants them, that He desires them. He says, these are very dry bones that I want. And he said, Jake, will you speak to these dry bones? So this morning, I was faced with a choice. Would I invite that Sunday school class in? Would I choose to be vulnerable and say, these are some dry bones, church? We must pray. We must speak to the dry bones that they would grow flesh. Tomorrow, I'll be faced with that choice again, whether I will speak to those dry bones. I pray that I do say yes. Perhaps this morning there are dry bones that are a challenge for you to say, God, put the flesh back on these bones, breathe life back into these lungs. Let me tell you, it's not by your strength, not by your power that you're able to do that, but by Him. He is the one that gives us the grace, the ability to forgive what seems like the unforgivable. But through Jesus, you know, there's the parable of the two men in Matthew 18. There was the one, I'm getting parables mixed up actually. There was a parable Jesus told where one man was forgiven a lot, another was forgiven not so much. And he asked, who loved more? And the Pharisees said, well, the one that was forgiven much. We were forgiven much. Whether you know it or not, you were forgiven much. And so we should extend that forgiveness. And so quite, yeah. Where are the sticks that have been broken? God wants you to pray and for you to speak that they would be joined again. Your voice matters. So why does it matter that I pray and not you guys? You know, it's good that you guys pray. Matthew 18, 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. Whatever they agree upon, it will be done. But because I have a unique authority, I have a unique relationship and position that you guys don't, it's different. Let me illustrate that by talking about me being here today. I came in the summer of 2021. And the invitation that was given to Chloe and I at that point, we were only engaged, but we were invited to come and to share just that we were in missions. And I think we told a story. And that was all that we were invited to do that day. That's all we did. We came again together in this past December and January, and I was invited to speak on forgiveness on New Year's Eve. And so that's what I did. And many of you shared how God spoke to you through that. But if I had just came and Joe Schmo off the street just showed up here one day, especially without Chloe, I mean, she's, you know, she's part of you guys. She's from here. And I had tried to say, I need to tell you guys about forgiveness. You'd be like, oh, who are you? Why are you here trying to tell me how to live my life? But because you invited us, you were more receptive to listen. As we were planning this trip, I was in communication with the deacons and the elders, and they said that we had freedom to come and to share whatever God was leading us to. And I believe at one point or another, every one of the deacons and elders said that to us. And I believe that it was because of that that God has been moving the way that He has. Because when we invite, when we yield ourselves to God's authority and to the move of God, He's free to come and move. When I invite someone into my own home and say, take whatever you want out of the fridge, they're going to feel, you know, maybe like they can do that. But when Chloe comes in and says, hey, take whatever you want out of the fridge, help yourself. Now suddenly they've got yet another person extending the invitation. And so what I'm trying to illustrate is that it's one thing for me to pray for your family. It's another for you to pray for your family. Because you have been given authority. You've been given authority in lots of areas, whether it's your family, whether it's your workplace, your church. You all have a measure of authority. And as you begin to cry out to God and speak to the dry bones, He's going to move in powerful ways. And so I'm going to skip ahead to Isaiah 37. In Isaiah 37, I'm not going to read the whole thing, though I would encourage you to. So this is about King Hezekiah. And prior to chapter 37 and in chapter 36, the king of Assyria is looking to come and to conquer King Hezekiah and his people. And they stand outside the walls and they're talking to some of the important people. And they say, oh, don't speak to us in our native language, because they didn't want the other people to know what was going on. And so the accusers, the attackers, of course, they spoke in the native language because they wanted everyone there to know that they were coming for Israel. And so they mocked God and said, none of the other gods protected their nations. What makes you think that your God will protect you? And so they shared that with King Hezekiah. And when King Hezekiah heard this, it says here in verse 1 that he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and went to the temple of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. And they told him, this is what King Hezekiah says. This day is a distress. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace. As when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, that he will rebuke him for the words of the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that survives. And so Hezekiah says, Isaiah, pray for us. I'm getting names mixed up. Isaiah then does that. He prays, and he says, go tell King Hezekiah that this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid of what you've heard. The king of Assyria is going to die by his own sword in his own country. And so they share that. Sennacherib receives a report, and he goes and says, okay, go say this to King Hezekiah. Do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Resheph, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Azir? Where is the king of Hamath or the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Lair, Sepharim, Hena, and Eva? Hezekiah received this letter from the messengers and read it. Here's the key. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, spread it out before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. He goes on to say, it's true what he said, God. He has destroyed all these other kingdoms. And so then God speaks to Isaiah and tells him, go tell this to King Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is what the Lord has spoken against him. And it goes on to talk about how God is going to overthrow Assyria and how Assyria thinks they're all that in a bag of chips, but they're not. Again, paraphrasing. And it's, God says, this will be a sign to you. And so, fast forward, after all these messages have been sent out, then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. So because Isaiah, again, getting the names mixed up, because Hezekiah went and prayed, he was the leader. He was the king of that nation. And he chose to use his free will and to go and say, okay, God, what are you going to do? Because he got real with God. He said, God, we're in a tight spot. What are we going to do? And God said, because you have prayed, this is what I'm going to do. So this morning, what I want you to hear is you have a part to play. Often I think the lie of the enemy we believe is, oh, well, God will take care of it. I don't have to do anything. I'll just sit back. Someone else will take care of that. But we have a responsibility to play. We have to be involved because God wants us to be involved. When we speak out, God says, okay, now I'll move. A few more scriptures that I want to share. I believe I've shared both of these in previous weeks. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Who's ever grown weary and praying for something, prayed for something, and prayed for something? Felt like, man, are we ever going to see breakthrough? Will things ever change? And Paul says, let us not become weary. Well, it's easier said than done, right? Let me remind you of what Jesus said. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. When we do it with him, that is how we're able to do it without becoming weary, heavy laden. This morning during Sunday school, we talked about when Joshua went to fight the Amalekites and Moses went up on the side of the mountain. And as he held his hands up, the Israelites won the battle. And when Moses put his hands down, the Amalekites would begin to win. And so what happened was Aaron and Hur, they had Moses sit on a rock, and they propped up Moses' arms until the Israelites prevailed. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you to speak to the dry bones what God says to speak to them. I want you to pray, because your prayers matter. I can pray for Garrett, and God will move in Garrett's life. But when Garrett says, hey, God, come move in my life, show me who you are, that is so much more powerful, you guys. And prop one another up. Come to Jesus. Let him give you the strength to continue praying and crying out on behalf of your loved ones, on behalf of your workplaces. This morning, what I want us to do is, I want us to pray. I know we have prayer service here on Wednesday nights, but we're not going to wait till Wednesday night to pray together. I would like us to pray now. And Josie has some music that she's going to play. And I encourage you to pray for those things that you need.